about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there,
our brains aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart
most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal. We take these energetic creatures and we stick them in desks and then we make them face forward for hours and hours a day.
I'm Art Markman.
And I'm Bob Duke.
And we're Two Guys on Your Head.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy. Today, schools and boredom, a history, an analysis, and a few other thoughts.
We are talking about how the modern education system has sucked the life out of learning.
That was beautifully put. Cross-stitch that on a pillow.
Sucked the life out
sucked
of learning.
The life out of learning.
How has this developed?
When schools developed, we had a population of generally people without education, and we wanted to quickly educate a lot of people. And because the United States is the United States, you want to do a lot of things. You build a factory and you do it, right? And so we have a very industrialized kind of model. And if you're trying to get people to know about stuff, that kind of institutional mentality where you've got a bunch of people sitting in a room all facing one person who's telling them stuff, that's probably okay. But if you want somebody to learn the kind of things that most people say they want children to learn in school, it's a terrible model.
And actually, on that point, you know, if you think about another legacy of the Industrial Revolution, is that one of the things you got was the rise of management.
Yeah, exactly.
And the concept of management is actually a fascinating one because there are two pieces to that. One is that a manager is trying to manage a set of employees. And secondly, that the manager has a set of criteria that they can use to measure the effectiveness of a factory. Well, all of that got plopped down on education, and actually both pieces of that are central roots of boredom. And so this is just a continuation of a legacy of treating the school as if it was just a factory for learning.
And again, the thing to do is to contrast that kind of learning with what actually happens outside of school when all of us learn things, which is nothing like that. Learning is not orderly. It's a mess. It's a mess. So the question you have to ask yourself is, how do you create an environment, a classroom, that allows the messy parts of learning to take place without everybody just going crazy and losing it?
The thing about this is that what makes people smart is not their ability to regurgitate information that somebody else already knows. I mean, one of the reasons that school is boring is because you go through your entire school career before you are ever asked to answer a question that you're reasonably sure the person who asked that question does not already know the answer to. But who's the smart person in life? The smart person in life is actually the one who's able to give an answer to a question that nobody knew the answer to.
Or even to know a cool question to ask that no one's even thought of the question before.
Right.
Right? And when do we teach students to ask questions? We don't do that, right? We teach them to answer questions in the way that we've told them and shown them.
The only question that they learn to ask is this going to be on the exam?
Learners don't come into a classroom all alike. They have different motivations. They have different levels of patience. They have different abilities to attend to a task for a given period of time. All that stuff is different, but we try to make it all the same.
Part of what we were trying to do in the Industrial Revolution and in the rise of manufacturing was to train a workforce that was going to be able to carry out a specific set of prescribed tasks. Whereas every business magazine you pick up talks about innovation. And if you're working in the factory, then innovation was not the buzzword. And so we've, in a fundamental way, changed the nature of what we think of as successful work.
And this is the center of the whole issue, right? Is what are the goals of an education? Because if you're unable as a teacher, as a parent, as an institution, to say, this is what we're working toward, right? When someone completes their education, whatever that means, what are they going to be like? How will they think? What capacities will they show? And will they actually demonstrate those reliably? And if we don't acknowledge that and actually accommodate those dissimilarities, well, then some people are going to learn just fine. And a lot of other people aren't going to learn fine at all, right? And the thing that's interesting in schools today is that the thought is that the people who are doing poorly in school, that is making bad grades, are not learning effectively. The people making good grades are learning really effectively. And actually, the people who are making really good grades, I don't think they're learning very effectively either, right? They're learning to do a particular kind of thing that school is teaching them to do. But whether what they're learning is something that's going to shape their thinking and behavior in a way that will be valuable beyond school is, I think, an open question.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do we do? I mean, we have to wrap it up, but the idea is, you know, it sounds a little bit pessimistic. Like the people who are running the system have been raised in the system, so why change the system? And systemic change is very difficult, but nobody's really learning anything, and you're just creating kind of these zombies who hopefully one day will have a breakthrough. What do we do? How do we affect change as parents, as educators?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to recognize, just as there is a great disparity among learners in a class, there's a great disparity among schools, right? And where the real problems are in school are in areas where the kids attending the schools are coming from very impoverished, very disadvantaged backgrounds. And if everybody involved in a child's life isn't on the same page about learning, schools can't fix that, right? Everybody's got to be on the same page. I mean, school is not a repair shop. It's an effort that requires parents, teachers, everybody involved in a child's life to be on the same page.
I also think that we need to trust the system a little more. And what I mean by that is, you know, we actually, all of our efforts at reform at the political level, I think are, you know, tend to reinforce the worst aspects of school. So what do? We try to find better and better ways of testing. But, you know, look, most people who go into the field of education really want kids to learn. And I think that rather than trying to find ever more clever ways to ensure that people are doing their job, let's just let them go do their job.
Next week with Two Guys on Your Head, it's How We Construct Memory with Drs. Art Markman and Bob Duke. To check out this and other episodes of Two Guys and find more information on any of the topics we've discussed, go to KUT.org. Two Guys on Your Head is produced at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas, and supported by OBGYN North and Natural Beginning Birth Center. For KUT, I'm Rebecca McEnroy.